Over here to my left, it's Pete Dalmolin.
Here I am.
P-I-E-T, the Dutch spelling.
That's right.
Your parents Dutch?
One of them.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Let me guess, your dad?
Uh-huh.
Okay, now I know that you're going to need some coaching. That microphone, you want to talk right into it.
Okay, this is a microphone?
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
try not to
call this. Okay.
Now, you work in a recording studio.
That is true.
There are maybe three people in the county who work in recording studios, like, for real.
Right.
You are 33% of them. There's you, there's this dude Martin here in town, who's a hell of a nice guy.
Finally met him.
Oh, he's great, right?
Yeah.
He's such a sweetie. A sweetie. Martin, I'm sorry. But yeah, so you're up there in Arcata in, in kind of a secret location, right?
Yeah. I wouldn't call it secret. It's a little bit off the beaten path, but, you know.
People know where to get
you. It's no bat cave. Yeah, people know where to get me. You know, I'm happy to just, you know, when I meet somebody, I'll tell them where to go.
Now, you are in the band Free Reign. What other bands are you in?
I'm in Full Moon Fever, which is our local Tom Petty outfit. We play once in a while, you know, not too much, so as not to bore ourselves. But, I have played in The Nucleus, San Nucleus, for many, many years, but our bass player, Steve, is 3,000 miles away now, so it's a little more challenging.
Boo.
He might be listening right now. He's supposed to be, so shout out to Steve-O if you are listening, and shout out to PC and friends in the van if they're listening, headed from Portland.
Yeah, they just, the Get Down crew with Drew and all them.
Yes, sir.
And Swizzlo. So is Swizz, he's in your band, by the way, right?
No, he is not.
Oh, okay. All right. But Tommy Fitz, the kindergarten teacher.
Yep.
He's the funky drummer.
He's the funky drummer.
He's a good guy, too.
Yep.
Who is in the band Free Reign, by the way?
It's Tommy and myself. Tomek is the keyboard player, and Aaron Drago, they're both from Mugatu, and Jesse Jonathan on percussion.
He's a nice guy, too.
Yeah. All nice guys. I couldn't
feel
have
like
it any other way.
When you shake hands with Jesse Jonathan, don't you look at your hands to see if there's like dirt on your hand right afterward? He's not filthy.
It's usually a big bear hug, so
yeah,
I don't need to look
true.
At my hands.
But I always feel like the last thing he did before like coming into my field of vision was like harvesting corn. It just seems like he's always pulling stuff out of the dirt, you know? Maybe that's just me.
Not in my experience.
Okay. Well, look, what we're going to do today is first of all, we're going to save you, the listener of K-Hum. We're going to save you some money. Pete and me wear headphones for at least like 4 or 5 hours a day. And we are going to give you advice on which headphones to buy and which not to buy, because it is one of the biggest cons in America, the amount of money people spend on headphones. You're a pro, I'm a pro. We're going to save you some dough. We're also going to pull apart one of your songs.
Yes, sir.
I hope you don't mind that we're going to like kind of take your we're going to rip your baby.
Yeah.
We're going to rip it apart one by one.
Yep.
But let's start off with the Free Reign. The record comes out officially on Friday, right?
Yes, sir. Tomorrow.
And the CDs came back from the mastering plant and everything checks out.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
10 fingers and 10 toes.
Well, not for long. Not after we get done with that. Yeah. Which song should we start with? Which Free Reign song?
Oh, boy. Let's start with King Molly, number 4.
All right. What's the story with this song?
It's in 5, so that makes it fun.
How to clear a dance floor.
Yeah. No, actually, how to maintain a dance floor and still play in 5.
Really?
It's a groovy tune, though. You'll be surprised. As some of, you know, we have another one in 7 that we played in here for you and manages to hold a groove.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, this is a groovy tune.
All right, let's do it. Free Reign, CD drops tomorrow, and we're going to save you money, and we'll get under the hood of some of this music. Hey, Pete, what kind of guitar is that, real quick?
That is my Fender Stratocaster.
Ooh, I've heard those are good.
White. You can hear the white.
Thank you. been listening to King Molly from the band Free Reign. CD drops tomorrow. And that show again is going to be?
A CD release party at Homebrews.
Homebrews.
It's going to be a music?
No. I mean, I'm trying to. It's a Friday night at
yes,
Homebrews.
Sir.
What time is it going to be?
I think we're going to kick things off around 9 or 9:30. DJ Rickshaw's there. And then Free Reign is going to play around 10. We're going to just play nice and long, hour and a half, 2 hours. And then our friends Farmhouse Odyssey are going to finish out the night after that.
Sweet.
Yeah.
You guys get a parking lot scene going at Free Reign shows?
We'll see. We'll find out.
Dude was telling me this morning he quadrupled his money at a dead show in Vegas by selling dog vaccinations. I'm not even kidding. Dude was like, he's like, yeah, I just brought a cooler full of dog vaccinations.
Wow.
Or like X amount of money at the vet and you can do them yourself. But we're off track.
Wow.
You're a recording engineer.
Yes.
And a record producer. What's the difference between those two?
Oh, boy. The short version would be engineer really does the hands-on work, whereas a producer can do anything from just tell everybody what to do or sit in the back of the room and just listen and know when to pipe up and say something's not right. Or a lot of the good producers over the years can do their own engineering, you know. But it's definitely not, it's not the same thing. But yeah, producer is more big picture, you know, guiding the entire project. You know?
Like a producer is like a field commander, right?
Something like
that. Whereas an engineer might be the sergeant of the platoon.
Maybe. Like,
go here and do this and fix that and plug this into that.
Yeah.
So speaking of plugging stuff in, you, when you record, you dump all this music into individual tracks in a program. You use Pro Tools?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Which used to cost bank. You know, they're coming out with a free version now. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, it's going to be 16 tracks because what's happening is Pro Tools has been so expensive for so long.
Yeah.
There's this whole crop of kids who are like, why would I use that when I could use like Reaper Cakewalk or, you know.
Yeah.
Something else. So you pour all these in and then you blend them up to make music. Did you record this one track at a time?
No, we recorded this as a band, and then are you talking about the whole CD or the one we're going to listen to?
Yeah, the one we're going to listen to. We're going to pick a song apart called Land
all
of
Hobos. All of it, really. We recorded the entire songs as a band, and then, you know, I went back and redid guitars, made sure they were perfect or up to my standards. We redid a lot of keyboards, just making sure we got the right sounds and that. Drums and bass were all live. I kept everything that was played while we played as a band, so that's cool. Percussion we did separately because there would be bleed issues with drums and percussion anyway, you know. So we also were writing these songs almost on the fly as we started recording. So we kind of got the songs figured out, and then once we had the songs, I said, hey, Jesse, why don't you come in? We'll get you on.
When you say bleed issues, what you mean by that is like the sound of, if you've got a snare drum and then like the hi-hat right
yes.
next to it, like the snare drum sound is so close to the microphone for the hi-hat, like it's going to bleed into that.
Yeah.
When you see a person playing drums in person, right, in the flesh, like that hi-hat is so much louder than it is on records, typically.
Yeah, it can be.
How do you, as a recording engineer, make it so that it's not like that on a record, and why do you guys do it that way?
What, like not as loud?
Yeah.
That's funny that you notice that. I do mix my hi-hats pretty low. A lot of it is frequency-wise. They really come through. Cymbals, too, but especially hi-hat, they occupy this high frequency that's kind of on top of everything else, and so it doesn't need a lot, really. You know, it's you want it there, but a hi-hat could very easily become this annoying, overbearing, way too loud thing, you know?
Unless you're an AC/DC, in which case it's amazing.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
Let's hear some drums. Let's fire up that drum track from the song Land of Hobos, and then let's add a couple of tracks to it just to hear the thing sandwiched together.
Wish me luck.
Yeah, good luck, Pete Dalmolin from Free Reign. There we go.
So there is Tommy, and the drums have their own. I kept the drum reverb with the drum track for this just because it was kind of its own. The drums were their own world. Oh.
Is he done?
Nope.
Is that the end of
it? That was a quick song.
So when you listen to this, I can hear that some of the other drums are resonating along with, it sounds like the kick or something, like maybe a floor tom is picking up some of that vibration. Does that bother you when you hear it? It doesn't bother me. I'm curious about your process.
You know, I'm not hearing much of that, but like I said, there is a bit of like a room kind of reverb. It's not like a big never-ending hall thing, but I found this thing I've been using more. The setting is called Studio A, you know, so it just kind of creates a space around the drums. So they're not, you know. So I'm not hearing much resonance to the point that it bothers me. But there are issues with that sometimes.
Okay, let's throw some percussion on top of this.
Let's throw some percussion in
there. What are we going to hear?
What are we going to hear right now? I'm guessing cowbell. There we go.
There it is. Nice. So did you just put a dude in a little closet and say, here's your cowbell, here's a microphone, here's some headphones?
Almost. I had Jesse in my nice room with me, not quite the closet. Yeah, and on this song, we'll probably hear more of it, but it's not, you know, yes, we did go for the cowbell on this song, but we found a way to not go all Will Ferrell on it. But we also snuck some timbali and some tambourine on this song, so we covered a lot of ground, actually.
Is recording a really, let's call it what it is, a cowbell's a pretty crude instrument, right? It's not like a zither or something, or like an auto harp or a piano, you know, it's just a cowbell.
Yeah.
Do you get a little nutty, a little bit anal about like how to record an instrument that is essentially, you know, it's got like a 60 IQ?
I do not get anal about how to record a cowbell. No,
just like a plain microphone?
It takes care of itself. And like we were talking about the hi-hat, you know, it doesn't need to be very loud. It's just there to give it a little extra something. And in this song, it's just, you know, it's just there to drive it a little bit. And there's our timbali.
There it is, yeah.
We came up with that on the right on the spot. Just trying to think of a way to give a little more life to these breaks that we're hearing. And all of a sudden I was like, hey, because what we'll hear later is I'm playing a guitar riff on top of that, and the timbali like really supported it and complimented it. And
let's do this. Let's throw one more track in.
All right.
Let's throw in bass.
Let's throw in bass.
Actually, no. Let's leave the bass for last. Why don't you throw in your guitar? Put your guitar.
When are we gonna drop the bass?
Wait for the drop, bro.
Oh. So that's mid-solo right there. That is on my Paul Reed Smith, I think. Yes.
And I hear two guitars. There's a little up
chuck.
Yes,
yes.
How many hours did it take you to get this solo down?
Not too many. It was nice.
More than one?
More than 1 hour? I mean, the actual... This one came out pretty good. I mean, maybe an hour or less.
And you got a wah-wah pedal on there?
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right, let's play another track from this. We're going to keep stacking this thing up. Why don't we play... Do you want to play Golden Boy? That's a pretty good jam. Or do you want to play Ming?
Let's do Ming.
Ming. All right. We got Pete Del Mullen in the studio, and we are picking apart one of his tracks. We'll hear one of the songs from the Free Reign record. Comes out tomorrow. CD release party at Humbrews. It's called Ming. Go. It's real quiet at the intro, right?
No.
How come I can't? Oh, you know what? Wrong.
Terrible
wrong
mastering
filler,
job.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you.
apparently that's a Flash Gordon reference of the song Ming from Free Reign, CD release party tomorrow. We got engineer Pete Dalmolin. He's in the band. Who's texting you, man?
Oh, band members. I will focus. I thought you were having some quality time with the public.
Oh, no, it's fine. Who texted you and what do they say? I feel like a teacher in class, like, give me the phone.
Oh, no. Let's just pretend that didn't happen.
Okay.
Let's pretend that I'm here.
Pizziotti? Is he telling you that Beck should have won the Grammy? It's like my favorite thing. Pete got so mad about it. I love that dude. All right, it's KHUM.
I thought Beck did win a Grammy.
No, oh, yeah, he did. But never mind.
Yes.
This is a debate that
let's focus on Free Reign.
Okay, so Free Reign, when we come back from the break, we're going to keep adding tracks into the mix here one at a time just to kind of hear how the sausage is made, so to speak. God, let's as a society, can we stop saying how the sausage is made?
Yeah, let's start with you.
Yeah, you got it. Also, directly after the break, we will tell you, the music-loving person, how to save money on headphones, because you can get fantastic headphones that pros use all the time, and you could save like $300. So if you are a fan of that, stay with us. It's KHUM Radio.
If you've got home projects to complete, there's nothing like a three-day weekend to get those home projects done.
And you'll find great deals on the materials you need right now during the Pearson's Building Center President's Week sale.
Visit our website at thebighammer.com for all the deals, but here are a few examples.
If you need blinds or mini blinds, Pearson's has them. And this week, all 2-inch blinds and mini blinds are 20% off.
If you're running low on fuel for your pellet stove, Pearson's has wood pellets on sale for $259 a ton.
All light fixtures are 20 to 60% off. Pearson's has a huge selection, and this week, all light fixtures are 20 to 60% off.
We've got some great deals this week in our lumberyard, like 2x6 redwood decking for $1.29 a lineal foot.
And 12-inch stepping stones are just $1.55 each this week at Pearson's.
Visit our website at thebighammer.com for many more great deals.
It's the President's Week sale at Pearson's, 4100 Broadway Eureka, Humboldt County's Home Center.
Pictures unlock feelings. A baby's smile, a hug between friends,
group hug,
a burned-out home with 2,400 empty butane canisters. One way or another, all butane canisters end up at the transfer station in Eureka, run by HWMA, Humboldt Waste Management Authority. Pressurized cans are household hazardous waste and require special handling, but please don't let someone's knowing what you throw away stop you from throwing it away. HWMA wants you to know the transfer station is a judgment-free zone. They just want you to safely get your hazardous waste to them, and they will dispose of it safely. Your part is to do it regularly. Smaller loads make for safer roads. If you've never been to the transfer station in Eureka, check out hwma.net. Every day is Earth Day at HWMA. And thank you, volunteers, for cleaning up dump sites and making it your Earth Day, too.
Hi, my name is Lindsay Battle, your host of Meet Me in the Morning here on KHUM. I'm inviting you to cozy up with a warm cup of tea and listen to acoustic music with me on Sunday mornings from 9 to 11, when I'll be brewing up an eclectic blend of music to ease you into your day. Meet Me in the Morning is kindly sponsored by Wildberries this Sunday on KHUM, radio without the rules.
This is the best. Larry Trask, KHUM Assistant Program Director, and my spirit animal. He and I, we agree on most things, but we have a long-standing debate about the use of large diaphragm microphones, which are like, you know, like when you see like those old-timey, like, you know, Bill Monroe with the RCA over the mic, like those huge, you know, they're big, like a cucumber.
Yeah.
I feel that those have no place in this room because they don't. This room, they pick up too much sound.
Now that I know what we're talking about, you know, well, these are large diaphragms.
Look,
these aren't RCA cucumbers.
I don't like these mics. Look, all right, let's move
Listen
on.
Listen to my chair.
This, yeah, exactly. Exactly. Comet sneezes, it goes into the mic.
I prefer the Madonna headset, but, you know, it wasn't available today.
Yes, exactly.
You guys didn't get my rider.
You mean the Phil Collins headset. All right, so first up, you wear headphones all damn day.
Almost.
You got to look out for your hearing,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
We know, we see the statistics about kids and their earbuds pulling that volume all the way to the top on their iPhone. That's bad. Don't
Ouch.
Do that.
Do not.
Yeah, it's banging, but guess what? There is, I mean, the ear is the only part of your body that's like, well, it's not the only part, but it's a mechanical thing. Like, it won't regrow.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing is you don't get it back ever. You don't, like, work out or do training exercises and get your hearing back. You know, it's gone.
It's little hairs and bones that are knocking around, and they will erode if you treat them wrong. Mm-hmm. So what headphones do you use?
Do you spend
$400 on Beats by Dre, Pete?
I certainly don't. I use, I think they're Sennheiser HD280s, something like that. But they're $100 each. And I have like two or three of them. And what I like about them is they're really clear. They're loud. They're really clear and honest, and they isolate really well. So when you have a drummer, you know, or like a drummer tracking to something, if you don't have good headphones, they're going to hear their drums. They're not going to be able to, you know, hear the music in their ears
right.
if they're not good enough or isolating enough.
Drums themselves are inherently loud. You need to cut that down as much as you can so you can hear what's going into the microphone.
Exactly.
I've never spent more than $100 on headphones.
Yeah.
And we all have these Sony MDRs.
Yeah. People, those are good too. Those are pretty much the same level as what I'm talking about.
People stop buying these unless you're doing it for fashion. Like, I get it if you want to look cool and it's a trend. Like, that's great. Buy Beats by Dre, but save your like, instead of doing that, why don't you take the extra $300 and like donate it to something? You know, you got that kind of dough.
I need to add too on the Beats by Dre angle is it's not just that it's a ripoff, but it's also the sound is not honest. They are hyping those things. What I like in my monitors, my speakers, I listen to my earbuds, my white earbuds all the time because it's, I trust it. I know it. It's real. It's what a lot of people hear. It's very real world. That's one of my things. I go home, I do dishes, throw on my earbuds, and I know what I'm hearing. But the Beats by Dre, they're hypey. You think they sound good because they're pushing things farther than they should. They might push the bass too much or, you know, make things just louder. And they're like, oh, it sounds better because there's more bass, you know. And
as you famously said, it's also about the treble.
That's right.
It's not all about the bass. Yeah. There was a time once where I was trying to play a mix. Like I'd helped Huckleberry Flint make a record. And like this guy, this engineer here in town, this producer, was in the building. I was like, can you listen to this for me and tell me if it's any good?
Mm-hmm.
And he looks at me like, I wouldn't even know how to listen in this room because his ears are so accustomed to hearing things in a true sense.
Mm-hmm.
And our rooms, our studios are not great in terms of like truth, right? In terms of an honest reproduction of what's coming down the wire. We're off topic. All right. All we're trying to say is don't spend more than $100 on headphones. You can get world-class headphones for under a hundo. Moving on.
True.
We're picking apart the song Land of Hobos. Let's start back at the beginning. Let's put those drums in and let's put that guitar in. What would you like to add in next?
Let's do keyboards. Let's see. How do I want to do this? So that'll be out. We have percussion. So we're going to have drums, guitar. We already have percussion, and we will add keyboards. Let's see if this works for me.
He's using... There it is.
B3 organ. That is Tomek playing our boy Swizzlo's organ.
That's a real Hammond B3?
That is the real thing.
Solo that out. Let's take a listen to that. Right there. Right. Well,
there it is. Just... You can hear that it's not a box of plastic.
That sounds filthy. I love it.
Give it some effects here. Or not.
And so that is being played through a speaker that is literally spinning in circles.
Yep.
Actually, two speakers that are spinning in circles.
Yep. And I have to use, I mean, the minimum for a good sound, you want like three different microphones on that thing. That's kind of the minimum. Because there's a speaker rotating on the bottom.
Right, and by spinning, we don't mean like a turntable. It's not spinning flatly. The speaker cone is actually whirling around.
Mm-hmm. Oh, now we're switching to Tomek's rolling something or other for the lead.
Suddenly I feel like we're in a Marvin Gaye record from the early 80s.
My effects don't seem to be working right now, but that's okay.
Oh, it's trippy. Trippy, Pete. Let's put something else in. What do you want to put in?
Oh, let's see here. We already did the cowbell. So there's everything again. Still no bass, because, you know, we'll drop the bass when the people are good and ready.
What's left? What do we got in here?
Bass is pretty much what's left. And I do want to feature my effects on some pass if it works.
Oh, yeah, let's do that. Let's talk about effects, because it's not just like plug everything in, stick mics in front of speakers, and then throw the faders up. Like, you are massaging the sound very sensually.
Indeed.
I wish I had to say that.
We're going to give it... effects aren't coming through on this pass for some reason. Timbali time.
Bring him in.
Almost.
Still. Can you turn the timbales up?
Yep. Back to tambourine, and now timbali time. You can hear it with my guitar. So he's kind of mimicking my guitar line.
As Jesse Jonathan on the timbali?
Yep.
That guy's good.
And now we're on to guitar solo, but... Yeah, I really want to have my effects working properly for that.
Maybe if you stopped it. GarageBand's a little weird.
I do have to stop it, but I also have to stop it and start it from the beginning.
Hey,
because
yo.
They're triggered samples.
When you hear this, I always wonder, how do you know when you're done? Like, at what point do you stop messing with
your
automation
curves?
You know
how I knew this time? Because I booked a show at Thunders.
It's like
and
this, yeah.
It's literally exactly a year. A year ago, we got together February 14th or 15th, laid down the beginnings of the songs, and then I finally, you know, I was like, I'll do it in 6 months. And then, and then I hit a point where I was like, I'm not going past a year for, you know, a 5-6 song EP. And, but it was good because it motivated me. And, you know, over the holidays, like, I really focused and, you know, a lot of the guitar stuff was hanging over me because I'm a guitar player and it had to be good enough for me to feel good about, you know, not just like, yeah, it's okay. So I would go in and I tried a lot of different things, but eventually I would just, you know, get the guitars that I knew were the ones and that's it. But really, February 13th is how I knew when to stop. That plus, you know, a couple weeks to get the CD made and whatnot.
Set a deadline.
Yeah.
A hard ceiling.
Yeah.
If you're just tuning in, we've got Pete Dalmolin. He's with the band Free Reign. We're going track by track or stem by stem, as they call it. When do they start calling it stems and why?
A stem is kind of a collection of tracks. So a track by track, you know, I would have, I don't know, 20, 30 tracks in here of every single thing. Stems can be a little more useful like this. Like, I took all the drum tracks and said, okay, that's drums. So now I just have one stereo track that's drums. And then, for example, the guitar, one track that's all the guitars instead of a bunch of different tracks. But it's pretty useful. I mean, for this, just for example, or sometimes if you're sending things around over the internet to other people to play on or mess with, you know, stems are just a convenient way instead of just, not everybody needs 30 tracks to deal with. But now that it's playing through and we're coming up on the guitar solo, let's focus on that. Let's focus on the guitar solo and the effects accompanying it.
Are your effects working now?
Yes.
Fire them up. Solo those out. Let's
solo
hear only
the effects.
What's going on in here, Pete?
This is pretty much... Oh, timbali in a cave. You know, this is effects from my final mix. It's everything except drums.
So this is all the reverbs and all the echoes and all the EQ.
Here's the guitar. Guitar has a nice little medium tape delay kind of thing going on. Also reverb.
Oh, my God. You are the biggest nerd.
Uh-huh. And coming up is something that I picked up from an old Eric Clapton album. You can listen to the effects. I kind of push the effects a little extra on a certain
looping
lick.
Yeah.
And I just accidentally stumbled on that in our original tracking of my solo, and I just loved it, and I kept it, and I don't think you can copyright effects on a guitar solo necessarily.
Yeah, you can't copyright.
But that goes back to some of my favorite stuff. I mean, old Eric Clapton and Tom Dowd, his engineer/producer. That was one of the first times they ever worked together, and I had to point that out. If we're going to be doing effects, I had to point out my extra guitar push there.
Let's close this up and mm-hmm. bring the bass in just a moment. But I want to ask, when people record bass or when people record guitars, right? There is this idea that the speaker itself, like the speaker cone, the fabric of the speaker cone,
yes.
is part of the instrument, and people get really nutty about that and where to stick the microphone behind the amp, 6 feet away from the amp,
yeah.
right on the cone, halfway out the cone.
Yep.
But with bass, they just don't give a hoot. They'll just like, oh, I'll just plug this right into the board. Like, that's not a thing for bassists. Why is that?
I don't know why it is. I mean, guitar stuff is notoriously nerdy and nitpicky. And, you know, I mean, every time anybody ever plays a show, drummers will sometimes share drums, bass players will share basses. Every guitar player has to show up with his own amp, you know?
Yeah, it's a good
And
point.
I respect
yeah.
that, and I am one of them, too. You know, we all have our, even if it's like the same amp. Nope, here's mine, you know? But
I think we just debunked it's all about the bass. It's because they don't care. They're like,
it's
whatever.
All about the guitar.
Is it boomy?
Yeah, bass is a little more straightforward like that. But like this one, for example, we recorded, when we recorded, it was, you know, just drums were all you were hearing in the room. And then I threw my guitar amp in the bathroom of the place.
Wait, rewind.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
This is like the sounds of the toilet.
No, maybe.
Okay, so you've got a cavernous sounding
bathroom.
That guitar
sounds like
thank you. Wait, so you stick your guitar amp in the bathroom because it sounds better in there?
No, because although recording has been done in bathrooms, but I put it in there because I didn't intend on keeping it anyway, but it's so that the drums are the only thing being actually heard in the room. So then the keyboards would go direct into my computer. My guitar amp was in the bathroom, mic'd into my computer. Bass was direct. And then at the end of this process, obviously I redid like almost all my guitars. At the end of the process, I took the direct keyboard stuff and the direct bass back at my studio, took those signals, piped them out, set up more amps for those guys. I put a bass amp in a room and I put another like a Fender Twin in the vocal booth and piped these guys' sounds into those amps and mic'd those amps so that I could have the complete full sound. So at the end of the day, yes, they're like going through real amps, and it definitely it tied the room together. But
I can abide with that. I feel like suddenly this is Tape Op Radio. Like,
almost. That's what we're here for, right?
Shout out to Tape Op Magazine. All right, well, let's solo out the bass, and let's take a listen to that.
Okay.
And who's playing this bass again?
This is Aaron Drago from Mugatu and Helikinetic and Free Reign. Here we go. Return to Zero.
Like, does it even matter what kind of bass he's playing? I would say so.
I think it's a Music Man. I was just having this conversation with somebody else last night about Music Man, but I'm pretty sure it's a Music Man, Ernie Ball.
And he's playing through some sort of fancy head, and then that goes into the board.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, this was, what we're hearing as a stem, it's a combination of his direct bass signal and then me running that signal through an amp, miking the amp, and finding the sweet spot of combining those.
Now, guitars and drums and all that stuff, people get freaky about having it in stereo.
Yeah.
With bass, bad idea, right?
You don't, there's nothing. Yeah.
Well, you have two signals, though, because you have what's coming off the bass amp speaker cone, and then you've got your direct board signal.
Yeah, but stereo means more left and right, you know?
Right.
You don't need stereo for bass, really. It's not really applicable. You could. It's not illegal, but you don't need it. Guitars, it depends what you're doing. I mean, still, you stick a speaker in front of a mic in front of a guitar speaker, that's a mono sound.
Right.
But you start doing reverbs or cooler delays or multiple guitar tracks, then you're gonna want stereo, you know? Like, I love I'm a big fan of like the Pearl Jam guitar sound when you got just two really great guitars going at the same time, pan them out like almost into their own speaker.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it fits the right sounds. I like them
When you say pan them out, that means like Mike McCready goes to the left.
Exactly.
And then Stone Gossard goes to the right speaker.
And it sounds so great.
Yeah, Moby Grape does that. Blind Melon does that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. If you, but the key here is being good at playing music.
Yeah, like, that always helps, you know? A good guitar, in tune, played well, well recorded. It just sounds awesome, you know?
Pete, I think we're at that time where we should rewind it.
Okay.
And we should put all these things together. But let's enjoy this bass just for a few more seconds here. Feel like we're in the fill zone. All right. So Free Reign, the CD release party is tomorrow. It's at Humboldt Brews. We've been listening to track by track the song Land of Hobos. Is everything?
Let's play the CD.
Oh, yeah. That's probably a better idea. Pete, this has been super fun going all tape op with you. I appreciate it.
Indeed. Thanks for the idea.
And folks can go see them. CD will be on sale tomorrow. You can sell dog vaccinations in the parking lot.
Uh-huh.
Bring some hula hoops. The whole thing, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This is Free Reign, Land of Hobos. Now you know all the ingredients.
And the new album is called Regeneration.
Check it out. band of hobos. Now you know how that, we're not going to say sausage was made. We will, now you know how that falafel wrap was, nope, that's no good. Thanks, Pete, man. This was super fun, dude. All right, go see this band Free Reign tomorrow, Humbrews. It's K-Hum Radio. We'll be right back. Valentine's